Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, made on Varick Street at WNYC.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer in for John Schaefer. Boy George became a global pop music icon in the 1980s as the frontman of this English band, Culture Club, known for hits like Karma Chameleon, I'll Tumble For You, and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me. Culture Club also was known for exploring relatively uncharted territory in fashion and makeup. Now, since then, Boy George has launched a second career as a well-traveled club DJ. But during the 2000s, he struggled with a drug problem, two high-profile arrests, and a short stint in jail. He sobered up in 2008, and now he's just released his first album of all-new material in 18 years. And it's great. It's called This Is What I Do. Boy George, before we talk about the record, let me be the first person to wish you a happy St. George's Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
now, we're taping this on St. George's Day. I'm going to admit I don't really know what St. George's Day is. Can you explain?
No, I don't really know what St. George's Day is either. I think it's kind of like nationalism. I know they have the flags with the sort of white and the red. And I think I have done a post on Facebook with me with the white face and the red flag. But generally, I just like St. George because he's called George.
Right. I mean, it is an English holiday, but it's probably special to you.
And there's lots of pubs called St. George.
Aha. Okay. All right. Well, they're probably celebrating in their own special way.
Absolutely. All right. Without me.
Well, let's talk about the new album. It's called This Is What I Do. And the track that I want to play for people before we get too far into the conversation is called King of Everything. It just kicks off with a really killer first line. All right. So I want to play that for everybody, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Down the booze, let the demons win the fight. I drop my gloves to the ground. You know I'm sorry for the times I made you cry. I made an order letting you down. Used to say it's only me I'm hurting. But I saw you on the stage. The kid was crying and the dogs were howling and a siren filled the air. What's the word on the street? Have I lost my crown?
That is the lead-off track from Boy George's new album, This Is What I Do. It's called King of Everything. And, George, as we heard the first line of the song, put down the booze, let the demons win the fight, drop my gloves to the ground, you know I'm sorry for the times I made you cry. You're really coming out with a pretty strong statement. And, you know, I started out the interview by pointing out this is your first album of all-new material in almost 20 years. And if we went back, you know, Not too many years ago, I wasn't sure that there was going to be another Boy George album of all new material. You know, we've heard about battles with drugs and alcohol, legal problems, things like that. Is this part of recovery for you? You've been sober since 2008 to start the album with that kind of strong statement?
Well, I don't think it was kind of thought out in that way. I don't think you ever really sit down and think, okay, this is what I'm, you know, you're just kind of doing what you do and you write. I mean, what I try to do is put as much of myself into what I do as possible because all of my favorite artists like Joni Mitchell, Dylan, Leonard Cohen, all those sort of writers who kind of inspire me to kind of be more honest and more real, really. So that's what I'm aiming for. But also you have to remember that it's also a song, you know. So, you know, you start off maybe writing about yourself, but then it kind of takes corners and, you know, you think about how it's going to sound on the radio or, you know, you're trying to make a 3-minute movie. You know what I mean? So in a way, it's a filmic song, you know, and I was never a drinker. So it's that bit's not about me, but it's just about all addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's about addiction and it's about kind of, you know, climbing back, reclaiming your, you know, your life, really. I mean, I suppose in a way, What I've learned in my life is that the most important thing to be is a successful human being, and everything else kind of comes from that. You know, if you're the most successful person in the world, and we have many examples of that in our lives, if you don't have sort of happiness in your personal life, it doesn't really matter how much money you're making or how successful you are. It doesn't mean a thing. So, you know, I've been on a long journey to get to this realization. Hey, you can be happy. Hey.
Well, you know, sometimes some artists might say that it's difficult to be creative and make a great record like this when you are happy.
Rubbish. I think it's much easier to do everything when you're sober. You know, including crossing the road, you know, making sure you shower regularly. I mean, all of that sort of basic stuff comes from clarity. I mean, and for me as an artist, I think, yeah, I'm sure there are people who do great stuff when they're in a mess. And I think it's more that you think you're doing great stuff when you're in a mess.
I'm taking notes. Shower regularly equals success.
That's
good.
Absolutely. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Didn't your mother tell you that?
I'm talking to Boy George about his new album, This Is What I Do. I'm Joel Meyer, sitting in on Soundcheck today for John Schaefer. He's out this week. Unfortunately, he really wanted to be here.
Oh.
But he's missing out on what I think is a really terrific record. I really enjoyed listening to it. And looking at some of the reviews. Now, I don't know if you do that, if you look at reviews of your own work. One thing that caught my eye, Caroline Sullivan at The Guardian called this album the comeback of the year. Just a very simple, very bold phrase. How do you feel about the word comeback?
Well, it's a word that's been used a lot, you know, in my career, you know, because I guess when you have dips in your career, then, you know, everything you do is considered a comeback. And I think at the moment, you know, it's amazing how many people don't know I've got a record out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in this current culture, you have to kind of literally bleed under people's doors, you know, arrive with their milk. You know, I don't know how you do it, but I just think it's a funny old time because we have so much stuff to aid us to communicate. You know, everyone's on their phones. You go on the subway or the bus, or whatever, everyone's on the internet,
mm-hmm.
but no one really knows anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the non-information age that we live in. It's incredible.
But, so do you have a plan for overcoming that, for bleeding under people's doors?
I think you just have to keep sort of turning up and, you know, it's sort of, I think really these days, you know, because people don't have the same sort of careers they used to have. They don't exist anymore. I mean, yeah, you've got, you know, artists like Gaga and Miley Cyrus who seem to be everywhere, but that's more for the pop kids. You know, you have to be a certain age to have that kind of career. For someone like me, it's a whole different thing. And I think everything you do matters. Like, we did a live show last night in New York, which was awesome. We were on tour at the moment. And, you know, all of it matters. It's all like a big kind of, like a raw pie chart.
Uh-huh. Live shows, TV, your digital plan.
Your hat, you know.
Your hat.
Showering.
Showering. The shower plan. I'm good that that's like, you've
all
got that locked
stuff.
Down.
Yeah, I mean, I think live is the key thing because, you know, live is the one place where only you can be you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of bands are finding now that that's the place where they're at their most powerful. And certainly that seems to be the case for me.
Sure. Yeah. You know, you were talking a little bit before about some pop icons. You mentioned Lady Gaga. There's an artist whose song you cover on this album who has done a really great job of being a very provocative, maybe controversial artist, very magnetic artist, Lana Del Rey. You cover her song Video Games, which is how I think a lot of people, that was their first introduction to Lana Del Rey. What do you like about her?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that she's kind of channeling the sort of 50s, you know, the sort of poo-poopy-doo kind of thing. To me, she's a bit like sort of Roy Orbison meets Marilyn Monroe. There's that kind of wonderful androgyny to her voice. You know, it's not the voice you expect to come out of that face.
Sure.
The first time I saw her on TV, I was like,
you don't expect a voice to come out of that face
because
you expect it just to be on Vogue.
I just thought, she's too pretty. She can't be talented.
Yes.
And then suddenly she starts singing. And I think I like Video Games because it reminded me of The Crying Game. You know, it's not an obvious bombastic pop song, but it sticks in your cranium. Once you've heard it, you know, it doesn't do all the usual things that pop songs do. You know what I mean? There isn't this massive chorus. It kind of drifts and it's quite breezy. But somehow I just thought it was, and I just wanted to sing, you know, putting on your favorite sundress.
The connection to the connection to The Crying Game, which is a special movie for you, I hadn't thought about that, but that's interesting.
It's very similar, you know, because when you hear The Crying Game, originally when I first heard that song, which was played to me by the Pet Shop Boys, I was like, it's not really a pop song. You know, I couldn't see it really. And then once they got their hands on it and started doing their kind of magic, you know, trickery. It was like, wow, this is a great song. And I think writing those kind of songs is difficult. Write those songs a bit like Slave to Love or Avalon by Roxy, or even Where Are We Now by Bowie. It doesn't hang in all the right places. And that's quite inspiring to me as a writer, you know, not to have to kind of hit people over the head with an endless chorus, which I'm good at. You know?
Well, let's hear the song that got us talking about The Crying Game. This comes from Boy George's new album, This Is What I Do. The song is Video Games, a cover of the song by Lana Del Rey. Here's Boy George.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. Open up a beer and you say, get over here and play video game. I'm in his favorite sundress, watching me get undressed, took the body downtown. I see you're the best dress, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume on. Go play a video game. It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you wanna do. I ain't about your life for bad girls, huh?
The song Video Games, a cover of the song by Lana Del Rey. It's sung by Boy George, and it appears on his new album, This Is What I Do. I'm Joel Meyer in today for John Schaefer on Soundcheck, and I'm joined by Boy George in the studio. A very nice cover. I want to say, George, your voice sounds wonderful on this record, but it does not sound like Boy George Circa Culture Club. Your voice has really changed. Can you talk about trying to get that instrument sort of into shape for this new record?
Well, for me, the big thing was giving up smoking, because for a long time I thought, oh, it makes me sound jazzy. And it did for a minute. I have to say it was quite effective. Then it was like, this is not great. And so I gave up smoking and, you know, sort of started to kind of train a bit and started to get fit. And not really because I was making a record, just because I needed to. You know, I was kind of out of shape.
what is the regimen? I mean, you look great. People are commenting on the awesome beard that you have. So, and I want to say the beard looks good.
Some people like it. Some people really don't.
I think it's cool. I'm working the mustache right now, and when you have a mustache, people just kind of go like, hey, you have a mustache.
Well, one of the great things about the beard is that for some reason I'm attracting lots of beards to my shows. So it's like there's this influx of bearded people. It's great. So I feel like I'm part of an international beard society. It's amazing. For me it was just really exercising and eating. I'm pretty much raw vegan.
Okay.
And one of the great things about being in New York is you have some fantastic raw restaurants in New York. The best. So I would love to kind of live here and just live on raw food. It'd be amazing. But you have to watch what you eat, really. Eat less, move more. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically it. Do you
have a favorite restaurant that you go to here in New York? Do you have a go-to?
Well, there's two places. There's a place called Pure Food and Wine, mm-hmm. and then Lucky Duck, which is the takeaway. And then there's a place called Rocking Raw on, I think it's on near Jane.
All right.
Very good.
And you get the 10% beard discount as well.
No. There's this thing. Listen. Lucky Duck, there's this thing. It's like a raw vegan mint sundae. It's not cheap, but it is worth it. How much is it? Like $16. But it's $16 of utter bliss. I've sent so many people to have this thing. Don't have anything else. Just have that. It's incredible.
Well, for $16, it's all I'm going to be having.
And just flick your hair and say, I'm worth it.
All right. You know, another thing that I kept coming back to when I was listening to the record called This Is What I Do is that there is just reggae all over this record. I kept, you know, track to track, it would sort of go away and it'd come back to me, another reggae track. You know, and in reading some of the analysis of the record, people keep pointing out reggae was a really big part of Culture Club as well, too. And I, as someone that was a little kid when Culture Club was in full swing, I was not paying attention to the reggae feel of Culture Club. It was just great dance music.
Yeah.
How important is reggae to you from, you know, from those early days?
Well, I think the reggae that I did with Culture Club was a little bit whiter. And I think with this record, it's a little bit more authentic reggae. But I've always loved reggae. I, you know, grew up in London. There's a lot of Jamaicans in London. So I've grown up with reggae in my life, you know, from a kid. And in fact, one of the songs I do live is Everything I Own by Bread. I originally heard that in 1973 as a reggae record. Yeah, by this guy called Ken Booth. And I didn't know it was a Bread song. So when I recorded it, people were like, that's a Bread song. And I was like, who are Bread? And obviously now I've heard the Bread version. It's beautiful. But we do the reggae version live.
And people just told you like, Bread is just they're a great reggae trio from Kingston.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You sheltered me from harm.
Reggae, you know, it's a sunshine music. I like it. It's a bit like country in the sense that it has its own world. And if we're into it, fine. If we're not, it still carries on.
It's an interesting connection between reggae and country. Two worlds that many people won't draw a line between.
Well, in Jamaica, one of the biggest artists is Charlie Pride. And they love country. And in fact, if you explore it a little bit, there is a very strong connection between country and reggae. They are brothers.
That sounds like a future Soundcheck segment to me here on the show, drawing the line between reggae and country. Let's hear one of the songs that really caught my ear when I was listening to the record, This Is What I Do by Boy George. The song is called Live Your Life.
Everybody knew the boy was strange. They raised him in whispers, oh how they prayed. The demons would go away. His daddy was cruel, he tried to make him tough. Always afraid to give him too much love. Too much love. Running, 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 what a waste of time. Knowing you can be what you could say. Bigotry and hatred. And too much lies. Now is the time to live your life.
Live Your Life is a track from Boy George's new album, This Is What I Do. You're hearing it here on Soundcheck. Boy George is our guest. I'm Joel Meyer sitting in for John Schaefer. You know, after Culture Club, DJing became a really big part of your life, George. I wanted to find out what was behind that transition. What did DJing give you that being on stage and making records couldn't?
Well, it was kind of after the demise of Culture Club, and in the UK, we weren't getting played on the radio. You know, the whole new wave of boy bands, New Kids on the Block, Take That, all of that started to happen. So the landscape changed, and Acid House happened in the UK, which was this kind of sort of version of American house, you know, the Detroit, Chicago house that came to Europe, and people just flipped out. So we took your American dance music and went completely crazy to it for about 10 years.
And you seem to do that over and over and over throughout the decades.
Well, I think even in the 70s, there are a lot of examples of, like, artists that were huge in the UK that no one knows in America, mm-hmm. you know. And the acid house thing was just so exciting, and I just started to go to the clubs and got immersed in that. And then one thing led to another. I ended up sort of playing sort of, you know, in the back room of a rave, and then that sort of turned into other gigs. But I DJed before Culture Club as well, okay. in 1979, so I had a brief stint of being a DJ. So I just went back to that, you know, and it's been an incredible second career for me, and I still do it. You know, I'm off to Kentucky in 2 weeks to DJ, and I shall be back over here DJing all the time.
So tell us then, what are a couple of things that you're listening to or that you spin when you DJ that we should know about?
DJ-wise, I love this artist called Loco Dice. There's this track called Detox, which is one of my favorite records. It's very subtle. It's as far away from EDM as you can possibly get. It's very understated, groovy. I like kind of groovy, understated music. And there's another artist called Dawley, who I absolutely love. And I do a podcast once a month for free on iTunes called Club Culture. So you can hear what I do for nothing.
We can provide a link to that on soundcheck.org. Huh, that is very interesting. What do you think about EDM? Are you comfortable getting as far away from EDM as you possibly can?
Well, it's a weird one because, you know, obviously, as I said earlier, when I started playing house music, it was the kind of authentic kind of Chicago, Frankie Knuckles, Detroit thing. And this EDM thing feels very European. It's a weird one. Mm-hmm. It feels like America has braced, in a sense, kind of the worst aspect of dance music when you have this incredible kind of, you know, original house sound. But having DJed around America last year, there is an appetite for no EDM.
Uh-huh.
There are people who want to hear,
I agree,
bass lines, and, you know, they don't want to hear the breakdown, you know, where everyone takes a selfie and drops their chihuahua, you know, people.
Well, Boy George, maybe what can happen is, you know, EDM can get really huge here in the U.S., and then we'll just send it over across the pond to you.
Unfortunately,
and the U.K. can improve it.
Unfortunately, we have it. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere, you know. All you see in the U.K. are, like, kind of bottles of champagne with sparklers, you know, everywhere, and the sound of Europe.
Well, there's a very different sound on Boy George's new album, This Is What I Do. I love it. I think it's something that that people should check out. Boy George, thank you so much for being on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Here's my coffee cup. Too much boy, not enough love. Your tears never went away. Feels like they took a holiday. Feel the vibration.